check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, Joe and Nate take a deep dive into the third base position. We break down some of the tiers and how the position shakes out overall this year, make some bets, and unleash the season's first Target Supreme.
Fantasy jousting?
Joe left me mid sashimi.
I got live breaking news.
There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. With hashtag Shark Week.
Did you actually balance your checkbook?
So he hasn't had a chance to suck yet.
I want somebody with some chest hair I can grip onto.
What are his weapons?
Shut up and talk.
Those boards don't work on water.
I'm the destroyer of burritos.
Be sure to cut all that out, Jesse.
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things.
This isn't a joke.
Eating ain't cheating.
Hello and welcome to episode 103 of the Nasty Cast Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com and, of course, Dots Pretzels. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on Twitter at Nathan Dockin, and I am joined today by a man without a proper insult generator. It is the insecure turd captain himself, Joe Osachi.
So I take it you found an insult generator then, where you got that?
I certainly
that?
Did, Joseph.
All right, you're gonna have to explain this because I don't know what an insult generator is.
Well, it's
I like what it's done with me though.
It is a finite list. I'm sure there's actual websites out there that will generate full insults, but I just took this one thing that I found on the Book of Faces, which of course you know nothing about, having no Book of Faces. But it just came along. One of my friends had shared it. And I figured it actually is another one of our friends, the Aw Man, the old redhead. He said, "Oh, you guys should use it on the show." I'm like, "Well, don't mind if I do." So now here it is, you smelly butt hammer.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good one, actually. But how does it work?
It is a finite list of. It's got three different columns. It's a table. So there's, basically you just use them in conjunction. You just pick whatever you want.
So it's just, it doesn't generate insults based on people's personalities.
No, you stupid ass box.
You could have came up with that one on your own. I found a thing just very quickly, insult generator, and it gives you, like, a smell and another thing, like this one came up. You just keep hitting generate insult and it gives you a new one every time. Some of them I can't say because they're pretty.
Yeah, I ran into the same issue.
Yeah. Oh, like here you're an ass reeking seal butt. Like this one has four terms. Earwax smoking melon bag.
Yes.
I could just keep going on this one, but anyway.
Anyway, yes. So many fish to fry on this episode. Joe, I'm pretty
to talk about.
I'm pretty excited to do third base, especially after starting off with catcher, which was a total crap show because the position sucks.
This one, catchers are a bunch of cork-sniffing thigh-bone farmers.
Absolutely.
And the third basemen are pretty awesome by comparison.
Yes. So
you earwax-taming poop-zoo. This is pretty good, this one I found.
I'm supposed to be the one hurling insults, you elitist taint biscuit.
Whatever, you goblin-stealing spam nibbler.
Spam? I love spam.
These are weird.
That's not an insult at all. That's accurate.
That's true. But you just nibble it, apparently.
Well, that might be inaccurate. I tend to.
There's so much we could really be talking about today. As this is, I mean, you're not going to hear it the day after the Super Bowl, but we are recording the day after the Super Bowl.
Certainly, this might. Who knows? You might not be hearing us for 3 weeks from now, depending on when we get to releasing these things. But, hey, what's your favorite insult? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or tweet us at fantasyamateurs. You can also get yourself a sweet t-shirt at thefantasyamateurs.com. And getting back to the Dots Pretzels, we are still giving away a bag of pretzels every week to anyone, well, yeah, anyone who rates and reviews the show with 5 stars on iTunes. That is 5 stars, not 1 star, as some sensitive Royals fans have decided to give us. So please, if you actually like the show, balance that out. Give us some love.
Sure, yeah. We're not always horrible humans. Most of the time we are.
I don't think so. I think if you listen to the show for any length of time, you realize that we're not actually horrible human beings.
Maybe. It's debatable.
Not always horrible?
Yeah, that's probably the best we could say. We're sometimes we're
temporarily
not
horrible.
Yeah. But pretty bad people.
I guess. Well, hey, we don't work for CBS or anything. We don't have to sit and censor ourselves, so.
Nah, no, last time I checked, I do not work for CBS.
Certainly not.
Speaking of which, neither does Al Melchior. Did you hear him on Fangraphs now?
Yeah, he's all over the place ever since he left CBS working.
What happened with that one? Who do they even got on that show anymore? Haven't listened.
I do not know. Scott White.
Yeah.
I think they have. Oh crud! I can't think of his name.
I was hoping his name was Al Crud.
It's a name that you know and are familiar with, but I can't think of it right now for some reason. My brain is not properly functioning. But speaking of former CBS employees, Nando DeFino is going to be gracing us on the very next episode to talk shortstops. So keep an eye out for that. But also, getting back to the pretzels, if you do give us a 5-star rate and review, we'll sit, you know, just take a screenshot of that or somehow otherwise prove that it was you and send it in to us at our email or our Twitter, and we'll get some pretzels to you out your way, and we'll also love you forever. And the weekly drawing, which is separate from that, all you have to do is retweet the show link out on Twitter or interact with us in some way. For all the listeners that we have out there, Joe, they're not particularly interactive with us.
Not in terms of pretzel receiving anyway. So, like, I don't know if you guys are thinking you're going to be getting some horrible stale pretzels that you aren't even going to want to eat and you're going to have to, like, burn on the fire. But that's not what this is going to be. You know, you're going to be getting the finest pretzels in all the land. The most the most delicious, addictive pretzels you'll ever eat. And if you don't, like, we're not joking around here. These are the best pretzels you'll ever eat. Don't you want to find out what they're like? Aren't you just curious? If you're really out there and you have a phone, right, you're probably listening to it on your phone. So take your phone out and just log into Twitter, because you probably have Twitter, or else Facebook, and just go ahead and just hit the retweet button. Even I know how to do that.
Yeah, it is. That's the mark of it being very easy.
If I know how to do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's the threshold right there. And yeah, we've sold some t-shirts lately as well. And if you buy a t-shirt at fantasyamateurs.com, just, you know, we'll get some free pretzels in there with that t-shirt as well. So
I mean, we can't be giving a bag of pretzels to Yancey every week, which is what it might come to. He usually does retweet us, so.
Ah, yes. He also occasionally buys a shirt.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess he's going to get more than one bag of pretzels at this rate.
But, I mean, I think perhaps we need to get George Costanza on the show to properly demonstrate how great these pretzels are.
George, he's not the one that said these pretzels are making me thirsty, is he?
Well, he did say that. Well, they all technically said it.
Yeah, they all said it. It was Kramer's line in the movie.
but George said it best.
Well, that's debatable. They all were pretty good.
Yeah.
I kind of like how Jerry did it.
He puts a lot of thought into it. Anyway,
on another random tangent, were you aware that there's something called the Signcast?
What?
A podcast that these are hour long episodes on each episode of Seinfeld, and they're going through the entire show.
Wow!
And they do an hour on every half hour, 22-minute without commercial episode of Seinfeld. I haven't listened to it yet.
How many episodes of Seinfeld were there?
Oh man, hundreds and hundreds.
Because there's 10.
Probably 200.
Yeah. Because there's a podcast that Jesse and I listen to for Game of Thrones where it recaps every episode, but there's only 10 episodes a season, and they're only 6 seasons in, so.
Yeah, they're not even done with the series, so.
Yeah.
The Signcast guys.
That's oh, there you go. If you like Seinfeld, go check that out.
Yeah.
That is actually pretty awesome. Anyway, we're going to do a quick What's in the Box.
What's in the box? What's in the box?
All right, so this was our buddy from the podcast league last year, Spencer. He hit me up on Facebook, and I thought it was an interesting trade proposal that he received, and I gave him my quick opinion, but I thought I'd be interested to get yours as well, Joseph. So he says he owns Bryce Harper in a dynasty league. So would you trade away Bryce Harper, Danny Salazar, and Vincent Velasquez for Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, and Will Myers? It's a head-to-head categories 16-team league.
Head-to-head categories, huh?
Yep.
What were the first three? I haven't heard this before, so. Harper, Salazar,
and Velasquez.
Boy, that is interesting. Oh, man. And he gets Kershaw, Sale, and Myers, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
He also, I asked for some context, of course, so he gave me the league type. And then he said he's pretty much he's a middle-of-the-road team right now. He also owns Arenado, Carlos Correa, Trevor Story, Benintendi, and his pitching isn't so great.
Well, if his pitching isn't so great, I think I would do it. I mean, you're really upgrading your pitching there.
Yeah.
You're getting debatably the two top five pitchers without a doubt. And you're giving, you know, I mean, Will Myers was better than Harper last year pretty much. I don't think you can't count on that to happen again, but I think the pitching upgrade is worth it.
That is what I told him. I'm not in the business of typically trading away Bryce Harper in a dynasty league or keeper league, like ever. I think I'm higher on him than most people. I think he's going to be an MVP candidate moving forward. Last year was sort of just a down year because of injuries. But, for his team context, as stacked as he is offensively, I figured that to make a complete balanced team, getting Kershaw and Sale up at the top there, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's a good trade, I think, probably for both teams. But Will Myers is, you're going to worry about, you know, he's had so many injury problems in the past, and he's really only had one full season to hang your hat on. And he's not going to be as good as Bryce Harper, like, ever. But, you know, he was last year. I think that was probably a fluke for both of those players. But the pitching is enough of an upgrade that I would still do it, because you're getting something back, and, you know, you're getting a top... whatever. I don't really, it's not an outfielder anymore, but I think I'd make that trade.
Yeah, I don't think that what Will Myers did last year was necessarily fluky, but you still look at the injury history and you got to be worried about him. And, you know, he echoed those sentiments and he said that he's probably just going to flip Myers for somebody else.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's fine. But just for the fact that you're giving up, you know, Salazar and Velasquez, good pitchers, but they're not Kershaw and Sale. So, yeah, I'd do that.
Jolly good. Okay, let's get into the rankings then, shall we? So what we do here is, for those who are new to the show, every year, well, starting last year, we do each position preview. We do one painstaking in-depth preview with every fantasy relevant player at the position, which is what we are doing here. And we also do a bonus guest episode to get some more crowdsourced opinions on some sleepers and busts, and of course our wonderful ADP Wars segment, which pits two similarly drafted players against each other and gives us an excuse to listen to a ridiculously gruesome drop. So, but we will not be doing that here. We're just going to be going down the ADP player by player, sort of looking at our rankings versus where these guys are going, and talking about what we think about these guys. So let's start off with obviously the first player off the board, the third player overall, Nolan Arenado. You have been a long-time Arenado hater. And
I don't know about that.
Because you called him the worst player in the history of baseball, and...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, you will actually hear, the episode hasn't been released as of our recording this, but Van actually is the world's preeminent Nolan Arenado hater.
Really?
Yes.
Hard to hate him at this point, I mean...
That's what good
there was
John
just,
said.
There was just one year that I thought he was going too high, and he really wasn't, because then he hit 40 homers, but...
Sure.
But yeah, that year I said, like, I just like some of the guys later on, and, you know, I was wrong. Other than the fact that that was the Manny Machado breakout year, and I said take him. But other than that, the guys that I suggested to take were absolute garbage, and Arenado was like a top 10 player. But at this point, he's the fact that he's in Coors, and he's going to put up such amazing runs and RBI totals, and he's gonna, like, one of the, you know, few guys in the league is going to hit 40. His batting average is always high. So to me, him and Bryant are like a coin flip at the top.
Yeah, I ranked Arenado just above Bryant just because of the RBIs, you know, over 130 RBIs, two straight years, hitting a little bit further down, you know, hitting third or fourth in the lineup, you know, in Coors, as opposed to Chris Bryant, who typically hits like second because of his on-base abilities, but then that also limits his RBI. So he's probably going to be closer to 100, 110 moving forward, whereas Arenado, I mean, you're looking at probably 120 plus.
It's easily. Just they're both like the same guy, and one of them plays in Coors, so you just go with that guy.
Yeah, and Nolan Arenado has shown that he, you know, he can consistently hit for a high average, and you did see Bryant hit for a pretty good average last year too. But he has a lot more swing and miss in his game than Arenado does, and he's also doesn't have Coors, you know, behind him. So while Bryant does steal a few more bases, you know, he didn't have a great steal ratio last year, and you know, I don't necessarily think that that's going to be a huge difference maker for him. You're looking at, I mean, maybe 8 to 10 steals I would expect this year.
Yeah, something like that. Then so, Arenado is like one or two.
Yeah, so,
but it's not enough of a difference to make me really care.
Yeah, I'd rather have the extra RBI with Arenado than the handful of steals.
That's what I ranked it as, but, you know, not to, in the, I don't know if you want to say any more about these guys. They're really good. So,
well, I just did want to say, I think I said this last year too, with Arenado, like, he's got a career 291 batting average on balls in play, 293 last year, and he's in Coors. Like, and he hit 294 last year. I think that can even go up. You know, I know he hits a lot of fly balls, and that's not good for your BABIP, because obviously the BABIP on a fly ball is very low. It's like 100 or something like that. But, I mean, Coors is such a spacious outfield, and it's Coors. So with a 38% hard hit rate, you would think that there's even room for improvement there. So, you know,
it's possible that at some point in his career he hits 320 or 330. Like, just because guys,
what I'm saying, Coors, yeah.
I wouldn't. That wouldn't surprise me at all. So, yeah, I have him number one at third easily. But like I said, Bryant, basically the last couple – or like last season, they were practically the same guy.
Yeah, you can't go wrong either way, but
no.
If you're splitting
But here
hairs.
Was – my thought, though, is – so third base, like we said earlier, like it's deep, you know, very deep position. You can get guys down at 10, 11, 12 that are going to hit 30 homers – and are going to put up, you know, kind of light versions of these guys, you know, like if you want to say that, let me pick a guy, you know, Corey Seager is one of them light because he hits 30 home runs instead of 40.
Kyle Seager.
Corey Seager is way better because he's a shortstop, but just due to the fact that you can get a guy that's just kind of like similar to these guys, just not as great. Might even take Manny Machado over both of them because he's going to be a shortstop.
That is true.
Because if you take a third baseman with your top five pick, then you've filled up third base, and then all these guys that you're looking at taking in the middle rounds are going to be either corner or util guys. And I think there's a very good chance you're going to have a third baseman, a corner, or utility because this list of third basemen is so good. But I would rather wait on third base based on it. I mean, if you can get Arenado and if you're fifth pick or sixth pick, you know, but I don't know, top three, I'm not quite sure that I'm on board with that.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, with Machado, that is a good point since he's third and short. So that gives you some really nice flexibility as you get into the middle rounds of your drafts. And Jonathan Villar, too, we're going to get to him. But he's a guy who's going to qualify at second, short, and third next year. And when you're looking at so many stolen bases, that's another incredibly valuable asset. As you know, it gives you so much more flexibility as you build your team.
Yeah, he's just offering you a different skill set. Yeah, and I didn't even put him in these ranks that I did just because he's a shortstop. But
well, yeah, you can.
I mean, I get it. You know, he is also eligible there, so you kind of got to rank him there. But
Right. Yeah. Most people get their, you know, they're looking at power with their third baseman. So you probably will be placing Jonathan VR. Actually, I mean, you're pretty much going to put VR at second base if you take him, because second base really sucks.
Even worse. Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah. There. I just, like, if you're really doing it, you know, you take, you know, right now the way it's going is Trout, Betts, Arenado, and then Kershaw, Bryant. But, like, for me, I don't know, maybe I'd rather take Jose Altuve than both of them, because then I eliminate second base, and I can still get a stud third baseman later on. And I can't get a stud second baseman later on.
Indeed, yeah. It's, you know, that's one thing that, like, a Chris Bryant isn't necessarily, a Nolan Arenado isn't, is a five-category contributor. They're not going to steal you that many bases. Josh Donaldson, even. He's more of an opportunistic stealer. I think he was 7-for-8 last year. You know, so that's not nothing, but still, it's not like you're depending on a guy like that for steals. And then speaking of steals, I mean, Manny Machado, zero steals after 20 the year before. He didn't even attempt a stolen base after May.
Yes. So, and with him, like me saying I'd maybe take him over Bryant and Arenado, that's because I think I'd rather take Bryant and Arenado at like 8, 9, 10. They're never going to be there based on what people are doing. I'm just saying I don't know that I want to take a third baseman with my top 3 pick or top 5 pick.
I got you.
So Machado there, you know, if you've got the 8th pick and he's there, then he's your shortstop. And then in round 5, 6, 7, 8, then I have that third base hole that I need to fill. And there's going to be guys that I really like coming off the board at that point.
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a minute. But there is a whole big, like a big chunk of a tier that really the guys are all just really solid. And you can pop them off in sort of the early middle rounds and be just fine with them. You know, not quite the elite guys like you mentioned with Arenado, Bryant, Donaldson, all that kind of stuff. But
yeah, to me, the first four are a tier. Arenado, Bryant, Machado, Donaldson. That's a tier.
Agreed, yeah. So who do you have? Do you have Donaldson third or Machado?
I put Machado third.
Okay.
Because, okay, and that's, you know, their numbers are similar. Donaldson, maybe the Jays take a little bit of a dip this year. He's older. And I don't know that Machado, like, yeah, it's the reason that he's going to steal 0 or 2 bases again is because of the Orioles. But he does have a 20-steal season in a very recent past, so it's possible that he does it again. That's just a want thing. If he decides he wants to steal some bases, he can. So I would take him over there. Plus, he has the same, you know, I mean, power is the exact same as Donaldson. They both hit 37 homers last year. And I think they're both going to hit 35 or so again this year.
All right.
Machado's younger. And, yeah.
Yeah, I put Donaldson over Machado. Pretty close, but, you know,
Betts' position eligibility, though. I mean, like, the shortstop eligibility moves him ahead of him.
Yeah, I do agree with that. But if you're just looking at guys for third base, Donaldson, I think with those opportunistic steals, you know, that's the tiebreaker for me.
Fair enough.
So let's then go to Jonathan VR, who was absolutely absurd last year. He's going off the board 5th. That's where I have him ranked as well. So what do you think about him repeating?
I didn't look at him because I just thought of him as a shortstop. But I you know, I understand. He's nothing like any of the other third basemen. He 62 steals last year. Nobody else at third base even probably stole 20. So you're just, you know, if you take him, I think you're using him at a middle infield slot, second or short.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, should we just wait to talk about him then? Or
I would say, I mean, to me, he's just not a – you're not going to use him at this position, because this position is so deep and those positions are way more shallow. So I just think he's – you're never going to – I mean, it could happen, but I'm never going to draft him and slot him into third.
Fair enough. Well, we're going to talk well, let's save him for the second base position.
Yeah,
so I was going to say shortstop too. We're talking about him real soon there. But so for now, let's just, in the essence of time, we shall move past him to Kyle Seager, who's going off the board at pick number 54 right now, according to the Fantasy Pros ADP.
Yeah, so for me, the guys that I ranked 5 through, let's say, 9 is kind of another separate tier. And Seager's going the highest, so I'm going to be not interested in him if he's always going that high. Like, I don't think he's any different than Evan Longoria.
Yeah, this is the start of that tier. Jonathan VR, to me, is sort of on an island, you know, a tier.
Yeah, he's just different.
Right, yeah. So these next couple guys here, I guess we'll go by ADP. You got Seager, Beltre, Todd Frazier, Matt Carpenter. You know, and there's some other guys in my rankings that I think are in the same tier. Don't quite line up with the NFBC ADP. Like a guy like Evan Longoria, I would lump into this bunch.
Well, yeah, it's like the way that I ranked it then was I got where's my number five? Anyway, but yeah, Seager, Longoria, Frazier, Beltre, Matt Carpenter. That's a cheer for me there. All those guys are, and Matt Carpenter's the one that's kind of different, but
a little bit. So before we get into those other guys, let's do you expect a repeat from Mr. Seager, you pompous cocknob?
I was, yeah, okay. I'm glad that you're going to bring that back. Oh, yeah. There are so many
that I haven't got to yet. I'm gonna keep bringing it back.
There's very few of these guys that I don't trust. You know, and Seager, he's hit 25 to 30 homers the last few years. The batting average came up last year. He was always a guy that you were kind of more thinking with. You kind of were fearing that he might be a 250 hitter or whatever, and he hit 278 last year, so that helped him out a lot. But, you know, he's 29, 30, so he's kind of coming into his prime. I think he's going to hit around 270, hit around 30 home runs. I think he's one of those really – he's really safe, but the guys around him I think are going to do exactly the same thing as that, and they're – you know, so I'm just going to take whoever's going later.
Absolutely. We're on the same page. As far as just waiting towards the end of the tier. You know, and I don't necessarily write out tiers if I'm doing tier-based drafting. Just sort of eyeball it, but of course we're professionals, so, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't. But I'm just saying, to me, just eyeballing it right now, I can kind of, just when I look at it, that's what I feel like those first four guys are all alone. They're the best. And they are a notch above. They hit 40 home runs. Then you got a bunch of 30 home run guys, and that's, you know, Longoria, Beltre, Frazier, Seager, Carpenter, you know, 28, 25, but he's kind of a better batting average OBP guy. If he can stay healthy, he's going to score a ton of runs. But
yeah, the guy that I don't necessarily like that early is Todd Frazier in this tier. I might even drop him out of that tier. But
well, let's talk about Todd Frazier then.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say for Kyle Seager, yeah, he is the solid guy. So if you just want to, I mean, you know, if you want stability, then there it is. But again, there's so many guys that you can sort of wait on. It seems like a waste to take Kyle Seager earlier than Adrian Beltre or anything like that. But
well, look at some of the guys going in the range around him. You know, Jean Segura, if you want steals, is going like 8 picks later. I mean, Cespedes, outfielder, is going to put up similar numbers, but he's in the outfield. Yelich, Polanco, you know, and then a bunch of pitching goes off the board. So Will Myers goes after him. Like, I'd kind of rather take any of those guys or a pitcher because I can wait, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 rounds later and find another third baseman that, in my opinion, is going to put up virtually the same stats.
Yeah, absolutely. That's sort of what this exercise does. It helps us find where the value is at in these positions and sort of help you map out your draft strategies moving into 2017. With Seager, he did manage to up his hard contact rate to 38.7%. Really nice mark there. And so he was able to achieve a higher home run per fly ball and hit 30 home runs for the first time in his career, even with a lower pull percentage. He actually lowered it 40%. That's down almost 10% from 2014. So he's really coming into his own. And while I don't necessarily see more than, you know, 30 home runs, I would expect 30 home runs to repeat if he can keep these adjustments that he's made. But
well, yeah, I mean, like, I almost hate it when I hear people do this on podcasts, but I kind of want to do the same thing. Like, yeah, maybe not 30, maybe 27, 28. Like, honestly, what the hell's the difference? We're talking about 1 or 2 or 3. You know, he's going to hit around there. That's my opinion.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Could he hit 30? I don't know. It's just totally luck. Like one of them, some guy, you know, Byron Buxton goes back and it bounces off his glove or he catches it is the difference between 29 or 30. You know, if you're talking about, if he's going to hit 27, 28, 29, 30 home runs, who cares if he actually hits 30?
Right. Yeah. You can't expect a certain number from these guys. You're drafting a range of most likely outcomes.
And I think he's 25 to 30 and most of the guys, you know, I see a lot of other players that I think are easily 25 to 30 homer third baseman.
Yeah, I will say, though, if he does maintain this hard contact rate and then he goes back to pulling the ball 50% of the time, you could be looking at a power spike, and he could turn into one of those 40 home run guys. But it remains to be seen. You know, I think we saw his batting average climb a little bit because he started spraying the ball to all fields a little bit more often. So we'll see what he does there. I will say that I do think there's, you know, it's solid, but there is a little bit of upside with Seager.
Okay.
But you want to talk about the Todd Frazier.
Well, I mean, okay, before I started, when I started ranking, like, I'll just start writing guys down, and then I'm like, then I just switched the numbers like 12 different times, and I crossed out Frazier about six times because I couldn't decide what to do with the guy. Last year, he was so bad. He hit 225. I mean, really, the whole year, I was just like, wow, Todd Frazier, everything's going to fall apart any second now because he was hitting such a low average. And then he had 40 homers and 15 steals on the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking into it, well, he had a 236 BABIP last year. It's unlucky. It's really probably not all that unlucky because he was just – all he was going for was home runs, just hitting fly ball after fly ball. So that's why it's so low. It might bounce back up to like 250, let's say, but he's not going to be a big BABIP guy. But if he can hit 40 home runs again – and I think he probably can at least hit 35 and steal another 15 bases. That 15 steals kind of pushes him up near the other guys to me, even if his batting average is low. And his homer fly ball last year was only 19%. It's not ridiculous at all. It was 15% the year before. So it wasn't like a crazy homer fly ball difference. And, you know, he hitting it, hitting in Chicago, a good home run ballpark for a righty.
Yeah, of course he might end up on a different team by the end of the season as the White Sox.
Yeah, by the end of
the
season. Yeah, that's true.
Sell pieces off. So, and for whatever it's worth, like wherever he goes is pretty likely to be a downgrade in home park.
Yeah, I mean, I can't predict that at this point, though. At this point, I'm just going to kind of draft him based on expecting him to be in Chicago.
Yeah, so you're trading off batting average for a couple steals, basically. So you're kind of looking at team construction at this point if you need those, you know, a dozen or 15 steals that he's likely to get this year as compared to, let's see who else is going around him.
Beltre.
Matt Carpenter, Adrian Beltre. You know, if you've built in a buffer for batting average to this point, then you can probably afford to take the hit with Frazier and build up your steals a little bit more. But if you take one of those rabbits early on, like a Jonathan VR or a Trey Turner, then you're not going to need those steals, and you're probably better off going with the batting average guy. Because I don't necessarily see Todd Frazier's BABIP. You know, you mentioned it's not likely to increase by much, and I don't even know if his batting average is going to get much higher than 225 that it was last year. You're looking at a guy who led the majors, qualified batters anyway, in fly balls. And I already talked about the BABIP on a fly ball being very low. So if it doesn't go out of the park, then you're looking at probably a pretty deep out. And on top of that, 18.5% of those fly balls were pop-ups, and that's an automatic out. So that's going to kill your BABIP pretty bad right there. So I do think that he'll continue to pull the ball for power. So 35 home runs is pretty good to me. And, you know, like I said, the 12 to 15 home runs. But I really don't know that you can count on the BABIP rebounding even at 240, 250.
I don't think so either. That's kind of what I was going with. But, yeah. I mean, you ranked him 11. I put him 9. I mean, I'm just saying he's – when I started thinking about – I just thought last year was such a fluky season because he hit so bad – it's such a bad batting average, and yet somehow he went 40-15. But at some point, you know, there's nothing wrong with just going for counting stats. I mean, if you can get 55 homers plus steals, there's not that many guys that can do that. So,
True enough. Let's see.
So I think he's worth a top 10-ish pick at the position.
Yeah, I'm probably not too likely to own him this year just because I'm in – well, not necessarily in love, but I like some of the other guys that are going – around him or later, like Adrian Beltre. I think I'm pretty likely to draft him. I believe we talk about him or talked in the past tense on the previous third base show with Joe Pizzapia. So what do you think about Beltre this year? He really sort of came back from the dead last year.
Yeah, it's kind of a health play with him. Is he going to be healthy? If he is, could be great. So, I mean, 330 home runs seems likely to me. So long, yeah, but he's just he's like the oldest guy of this group. He's what, like 36 now?
He is 37. He will be 38 next year.
Yeah, that's a bit concerning to me. But, you know, he does it every year. The only thing, you know, performance-wise, I don't see any reason to think he's going to slip. Even though he's getting old, the only reason is, like, is he going to pull a hammy? Which he's been known to do.
A moon's over my hammy?
You know, I never get that at Denny's, but yeah, sure.
Neither do I. You know, when I went out for brunch with the missus this morning, we were very highfalutin folk. I ordered this, Crab Benedict.
Was it at Denny's?
No, it was at Peacock Alley.
Okay, because I wouldn't get crab at Denny's.
No, God, no. No, this is, and what's funny is they have like a little asterisk by that dish in particular, and then so you look at the bottom of the menu and see what it says, and it said using local ingredients. I'm like, how many crabs?
Local crab, eh?
How many crabs are in North Dakota?
Well, there might be some, but it's not the kind you want on your crab Benedict.
Heavens no. Oh, God. But I felt so fancy ordering crab Benedict for breakfast.
But more importantly, how was it?
Oh, it was quite lovely. Had some poached eggs on there with some hollandaise sauce.
Delicious, or just like one of the best Benedicts you've had? I'm a pretty big eggs Benedict fan.
I can't remember even having eggs Benedict before, so I guess compared to nothing, it was a 10.
I mean, the hollandaise is the key with an eggs Benedict. If you got a good hollandaise, then you're in like Flint.
Yeah, it was a good hollandaise for sure. But I also had a boozy coffee drink, which was pretty amazing. And I got one of those fancy little glass sort of cups with a little handle on it. Oh my God.
Sounds like you're having a hell of a day.
Yeah. I should have wore a beret or something out there and like smoked a pipe.
Yeah, the pipe for sure.
But anyway, getting back into third base, you pie-eating crotch Nazi.
That seemed like you made that one up, but...
Nope, just reading, just trying to choose the ones that Jesse won't have to censor.
Yeah, it's tough.
Adrian Beltre, 42.1% fly ball rate last year, which was his highest since 2011. Getting the ball in the air helped him hit 30 home runs again. You know, as players age, they tend to decline in fly ball rate, and that's why I was off him last year, because we hadn't seen him hit 20 home runs 2 years in a row, and his fly ball rate was going down. But last year he fixed everything. Plate discipline is still great. Batting average is still great. Lineup is better than ever, so I have absolutely no problems. Despite the advanced age, I would definitely draft Adrian Beltre.
Sure. I put him 8. You have him 7. He's going as the 7th guy. So yeah. He's going right spot.
Yep, fair value for me and you. And Matt Carpenter is the next guy at 78. These guys are all sort of grouped together, Beltre, Frazier, Carpenter at 74, 75, 78. So Carpenter got the multi-position eligibility. Does that make you more apt to draft him? I almost got that sentence out.
Yeah, I put him the highest of the group there because of the position eligibility, and that's the only reason. Because you can play him at second.
Absolutely.
It's kind of cheating, because I actually think he's going to probably put up the worst numbers of the group, but...
I like Matt Carpenter a lot, but yeah.
I do too, but it's just like I don't think he's going to hit 35 home runs, and Beltre could, and Frazier could, and, you know, Seager could, Longoria could. But the position eligibility, he's a OBP guy, really good walk rates, hits at the top of the Cardinals lineup, should score a ton of runs, just needs to stay healthy. I've always liked Matt Carpenter.
Well, you said that he's not the big power guy that these other guys are, Joe, but let me throw some numbers at you. 41.9%, which was his hard contact rate last year, third best in all of Major League Baseball, behind only David Ortiz and Freddie Freeman. And his isolated slugging over the past 2 years is .234, which is over the course of 283 games over the last 2 years. So I think he has pretty well established himself as a power guy. So.
Well, yeah, but I don't know that I see 35 homers, I guess. But we could see what he can do in a full season. I mean, he'd hit 30.
I absolutely think that he could.
I think he's got 30. As much power as, yeah, Corey Seager and some of these guys. So.
And going a lot later, which is why, you know, we've mentioned this tier in particular. Like, I'm definitely good just waiting on
I keep
guys.
Saying Corey Seager. God damn it, Kyle Seager.
Well, he's the irrelevant Seager now.
I guess.
So who is next? Let's see. Alex Bregman. Here we go. At 96. We didn't see more than a snippet of him last year. He started off the season really cold. I think he was like 1 for 32. Then he really turned it around and had a good final month. So what do you think? Are you going to be taking the Alex Bregman at 96?
Well, I ranked him, I think, 11th at the position. He's going, what, 9th? I mean, actually 10th. I might rethink that and even move him down a little bit lower. Some of these other guys have just proven it ever so much more. I'd probably put him just at the bottom of the tier, you know, behind all these other guys that have proven it. Then after that, you get into, like, the Miguel Sanos and Justin Turners and Mikel Francos, and some of those guys really haven't proven a whole lot either. But what do we know about Bregman? He hit, you know, 8 homers and 200 at-bats last year, hit .264. I mean, if you extrapolate it all, take everything times 3, if he gets 600 at-bat season, you know, he's 20-25 homer third baseman. I mean, a lot like the other guys, so I don't know why you'd be taking him any over any of these other guys, like Justin Turner. Like, why would you take him over Justin Turner, I guess, would be my question. And you wouldn't, so.
No, I wouldn't. For Turner.
But everybody else would, based on the ADP.
Yeah, it remains to be seen how long the Dodgers are going to let Turner hit lefties, if at all, this year, because he's pretty useless against lefties. But still, I mean, you're looking at more counting stats than Bregman, I think, for Turner. You know, Bregman, like you said, 20-25 home runs seems about right, but he's not going to give you a ton of steals. He only attempted 13 in all of 2016. He finished 9 for 13 across 3 levels. You know, and he's going to be towards the, well, the back half of the order, at least. I think he's projected currently to hit about 6th. And, you know, it is a pretty stacked lineup, so he could see some pretty good RBIs. We saw Addison Russell driving 95 last year, you know, hitting down in the lineup. So if Bregman can, you know, continue to hit, make a lot of contact, and, you know, hit for a decent average, he could drive in a lot of runs. But he's not going to score a lot of runs. He's definitely not going to be an asset unless he manages to somehow move up in the lineup. But I don't think that's going to happen without an injury to Altuve or George Springer. So basically, I just think at this point he's overdrafted. Like, don't, you know, I did that baseball summit that BJ Pavanka is putting on, and we did third base there too. So this is actually my third podcast on third base. But so I feel like I'm just repeating myself with everything. But Bregman, I mean, I warned, don't buy into the hype that much. I have a feeling that he's going to continue to get pushed up these draft boards as everybody, you know, looks towards the next bright shiny bauble, as Tim McLeod would say. You know, this the sexy young guy.
Yeah, and if you look at his ADP, it's higher, or the highest is Yahoo at 81, and that's kind of the majority of leagues. You know, NFBC players a little bit more cautious at 91, but not even that much more cautious. So he's just kind of a player that everybody's excited about this year. And yeah, I mean, I'm not down on him or anything. I don't think he's a bad player, but I'm not going to reach for any third baseman because I think there's so many good ones.
Yeah, you can really let the position come to you. And, yeah, Bregman, the long-term dynasty, I think he's a solid gold. But, yeah, this year, you know, you could see some adjustments as, you know, the sort of the first full-time around the league.
Yeah, you'd have to have a real breakout this year, I think, to be worth it at that spot.
Yeah, and I just don't see without more stolen bases that would happen. And I don't see the stolen bases coming up at all. So,
yeah.
I think we're going to take a break real quick right here and come right back.
It's that time again. That's right. It's fantasy baseball season, and the Fantasy Black Book is back and better than ever. This is Joe Pisapia, author of the 9-time best-selling Fantasy Black Book series, number one right now on Amazon, on iTunes, and for the first time ever, the Fantasy Baseball Black Book can be held in your hand. Yes, what a beautiful world we live in. Head over to Amazon and buy your hard copy as well today. Baseball is coming. Are you ready?
All right, and we are back on the nastiest of casts. I am joined by a white trash prick waffle.
That one was pretty good. You could have just said prick waffle.
Laugh at more of my jokes, you tone-deaf shart-hound.
No, I didn't like that one as much.
Jesse would like that one because it's got the word shart in it.
Yeah, he's a big fan of that. It's probably his favorite joke.
Apparently it is. Anyway, where the hell were we? We just got off Alex Bregman, so let's do Anthony Rendon, who just so happens to be the next guy taken off the board in ADP. Joe, we both love the Rendon. What do you think of him this year?
We both loved the Rendon, I think, for years, but I loved him when he was a second baseman that I thought could go, you know, 30-20, and I don't think now he's a third baseman that can go 20-10, So, I mean, I like him as a player. I think he's good. I mean, I think he could hit 25 homers. He's got decent average, but he doesn't, there's nothing about him that differentiates him to me. Like, so I don't think I'm going to draft him here. I just, you know, he is going at the back end of kind of that other little tier, but I don't see the price being worth it for me. He doesn't do any, there's no one particular category that he's great in.
Yeah.
He chips in those 10 to 15 stolen bases, you hope, and that kind of makes him as good a player as, like, you know, Beltre, let's say, or you that's what you're hoping. But he was 12 for 18 last year. I mean, pretty decent success rate, but I don't know how long I would see the steals keeping up.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something that I'm necessarily depending on that much. I think if I get 10 from him, I'm pretty happy. Anything beyond that, I would consider gravy. And according to ADP, you know, he's going right behind Alex Bregman. Although if you're drafting on Yahoo, he's going 16 picks currently behind Bregman, which I think is pure lunacy. Because Bregman has, or Rendon has already done it before, and Bregman could basically be Rendon.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're hoping for with Bregman, is that he is Rendon. Yeah, I ranked Rendon one spot ahead of Bregman. I think they're very similar players, so I would take whoever's cheaper.
Yeah, which in this case is Rendon. And, you know, aside from the injury history, which is real and you can't really forget about it at this point, you know, Anthony Rendon is just better in every way. And I was actually a little bit more lukewarm, you know, on Rendon this year, you know, than a lot of players in this tier. But then, of course, I was reading Anthony Perry's article on Fantastics that he just put out about sort of home run for fly ball rates. And one of the guys that he marked as players who should have hit more home runs last year, the number one guy on that list was Anthony Rendon. And if it makes sense if you know, it factors in a whole bunch of other stuff. But basically, if you look at his hard contact rate, 36.5 last year, and his pull rate of 40%, and you look at his home run per fly ball rate, which was only 10%, that doesn't quite add up. He should have hit a lot more home runs. You know, and I don't want to give away the cow. Is that what they say, Joe?
They do not say that.
I don't want to set fire to the cottage.
I mean, that could be a thing.
As they say, I'm pretty sure the British people say that. I think that's a thing.
We'll ask Barry.
But yeah, but he is. I've been working on my English accent, by the way.
I'm sure you have. It's getting better by the minute.
Do you want to hear it?
No.
Okay.
I figured you'd do it anyway, even if I said no.
What's it?
Yeah, that's
what I thought. Where's my pipe?
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely different than a lot of other people's British accent. There's different kinds of British accents.
Oh, no. Whereas One's Australian. I'm from Whitechapel. We kill people here. Jack the Ripper.
Yeah, your British is kind of slightly Australian, is the weird part.
It's an Australian Englishman.
They're kind of related countries, you know, whereas the British sent their prisoners there and all that.
Oh, boy, history buff over here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I do see some power upside with Rendon this year. Because Anthony pointed that out, I thought it was very interesting. So,
no, that's a good point. I mean, maybe I'm a little even too low on him then, I guess. It's just my thing is just that I trust so many of the guys at third base to perform. But I wouldn't have a problem owning three third basemen. Put one at utility, one at corner, one at third.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But yeah, I might push up Anthony Rendon. And I will say in my rankings, yeah, I'm definitely going to switch him and Jake Lamb now that I look at it. I've got Lamb at 12 and Rendon at 14. I'm going to switch that around. By the way, go to thefantasyamateurs.com to check out our rankings.
Oh, yeah, you're way down on Rendon on there. I have Rendon as number 10 myself.
Yeah, and that's why we do these. You know, those are my cursory rankings, and we sort of talk things over, and as the season goes along, I get more of a, I don't know,
for a feel.
A certain idea, for where I'm going to take these guys in relation to each other. So this helps us out as well as the listeners.
There may be just us.
Maybe just us.
Yeah.
And we're just pissing into the wind. But one guy that I will mention here that I have ranked at 13, and he will pretty much almost definitely drop out of at least the top 15, maybe out of my rankings altogether, depending on whether he gets suspended or not, that's Jung Ho Kang.
Yeah, I didn't rank him just because I feel like his uncertain future.
Yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean, until we know exactly what's going to be going on with him, he's pretty tough to draft, but I ranked him like he was going to be playing, and if that's the case, he's a top 15 guy for me. So we'll see how that goes. Sometimes these things tend to get pushed into next year. So, but the next guy is Evan Longoria, who enjoyed himself a career year last year. What do you think of Longoria?
Well, he would be the guy that I would pass on everybody that we've talked about for the last five picks for. Because I put him fifth. Like, I think he's could potentially be just almost as good as the top four guys. Like, I mean, he pretty much was last season. It was, like, as you said, it was his career season. I normally say don't pay for a career year. Like, he's never going to put up the runs in RBIs like those guys do because the Rays aren't that good. The Rays just aren't going to provide you the opportunity to drive in 133 runs like Arenado can do. So he's never going to be there. But as far as – I think he could repeat that 35 home run season. If you – I'm not the sabermetrician that – Mr. Dawkins is over there, but if you look at last year, you know, his homer fly ball, you know, you generally look at homer fly ball if you had a guy that had a big, big time power spike, and it was 15%. I don't think that's at all out of line. 14.9 for his career, so it was pretty normal. The difference that you see in his batted ball mix there is his ground ball percentage, he dropped down to 31.9, and then he upped his fly ball to 46.8. So he hit more fly balls. I think that was a strategy, not by accident. I think he's trying to put it in the air a little bit more. So I think if he just does the same, just keeps doing what he's doing, he's a 30 to 35 homer third baseman. Yeah. Just as good as all these other guys, and he's going the latest.
Yeah, it's just he says sort of has just a stigma of grossness about him. You know, his value's been down for so many years, nobody wants to buy back in. But yeah, like you said, he put more balls in the air, put more balls over the fence as a result, and his hard contact rate was the highest it's been since 2013. So I'm with you. You have him at 5. I'm not quite as high. He's at 8 for me. But either way, we're both in on him because his ADP right now has him going off the board at
101, yeah.
Yeah, the 12th third baseman. So,
well, and I guess, like I said, I didn't put in VR. But yeah, I would take VR over him. But, you know, so then whatever,
yeah.
6. So, I mean, yeah, we'd be right there. I'd be saying 6. So that's kind of, we're in the same spot. I just – I trust him just as much as a Beltre or a Frazier, and actually more than a Frazier. Like, to me, he's – what's the difference between him and Corey Seager? I think he's better than Corey Seager. I think he's got more power. And, like, so, yeah, I mean, neither of them are going to do anything for you in stolen bases anyway. There's no difference there. You know, Longoria, for all the crap he's been taking, people have been down on him, like he said. You know, he had 32 homers in 13, and then he had 22 and 21 the next couple years, but then 36 this year. The other plus with him, he's played over 160 games for four consecutive seasons. So, yep. Iron Man.
Yeah, and I bet you if you ask a lot of people, they'll still say, oh, well, he gets injured, but he doesn't anymore. You know, just
well,
because
no,
he started his career that way.
Yeah, and I mean, actually, the you know, his walk rate actually even dipped a little bit last year, which normally I don't like. I mean, so he's on a downward trend there, but I mean, I'll take fewer walks and more homers.
Yeah, it was never a really huge boon to his value anyway. You know, so yeah, he did make a little less contact, and swing strike rate went up a little bit, but it's nothing hugely detrimental. So yeah, I think you're. Your comparison with Kyle Seager is apt, you know, with a big discount in ADP.
Yeah, I mean, I think him at Seager. I'm not saying like Longoria is going to murder Seager this year. He's going to turn him into Bob Seager. I don't know. I just wanted to say that. But so I think they're similar players. But I'm going to take the guy that's going 50 picks later every time.
That is wise words, especially coming from a smelly bitch waffle.
two waffles, huh?
I always seem to gravitate to that one instead of
one.
Perhaps a slutty boner dragon.
That one seems like a compliment.
I think so. If you were addressing a woman of the night, she would be flattered.
Yeah, you're better than calling her a toilet burping sheepsucker. Like you can,
she would be confused by that. She'd be like, was that? What kind of insult was that? What do you mean?
Yeah. People wouldn't have any idea.
They'd just be befuddled. Yeah, they wouldn't. I don't even know if they'd be insulted. They'd just look at you like, what are you talking about?
They'd probably just think you're insane and walk away. Yeah.
And be correct. Anyway, Justin Turner is our next guy, the 13th third baseman off the board. What do you think?
He's your guy from last year. I mean,
he was my target supreme. Boy, did that work out. You had a good year last year.
And I have a target supreme that will so late, but perfect. I don't have any problem with him going where he's going. I think he's, you know, whatever. Kind of Kyle or Corey Seager light. I don't remember which one the third baseman is.
You're going to have to work on that. By the time the regular season rolls around, Joe, you need to be able to
come up with a mnemonic device.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's see. Which one are we trying to remember? Kyle. So,
yeah.
K. What do you...
Does he, if he only struck out a lot, I guess. Kyle, yeah, I don't know. It's tough.
Knife yielding lefty extravaganza.
So aren't they? Or no, he's a lefty and Corey's a switch hitter. Is that correct?
I actually thought he was a right-handed hitter.
Kyle? Oh, yeah. He's a lefty for sure.
Is he? I always...
Anyway, who cares? We can't figure it out, or I can't figure it out. But yeah, Turner, he was kind of, you know, 2 years ago or whatever, it was kind of thought of more of as like a utility guy, and nobody thought that he was going to be able to be, because he was basically one of the best hitters in the Dodgers lineup for a while, and nobody really thought it would continue, but it did last year, 27 homers, and he got off to like the worst start you can possibly imagine, and he still put up a great season, so
yeah.
I'm good with taking him there, and you know, the such a steep discount that I could see him filling, either actually being my third baseman, or maybe getting him as a corner infielder.
Yeah, I'm a little down on him compared to everyone else. Well, not that much. He's 15 for me, 13 for the ADP right now. But, you know, just he's crap versus lefties. So there's that. 40% fly ball rate, which helped him hit more home runs last year as he increased that. But also hurt his average as it led to more outs. But let's see. Yeah, against left-handed pitching, where do I have you? 283 weighted on base against lefties. Atrocious, so they might end up platooning him. But we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know who they would platoon him with, but
I don't know. They've got a bunch of young guys that are coming up, and they do that kind of thing nowadays.
Sure, they do.
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily excited about him, but I, you know, as a more of a corner infield guy, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah, corner infielder, like I said. He doesn't particularly excite me, but I think he's fine going where he's going. Like all these guys, even if we're talking about them just in terms of the other third baseman, then I'm going to say I don't like them as much as some guys, but I might like him a lot more than some of the other players that are going off around that time, which, quick glance at it. I just had him. Where did he go now? He's going by Odubel Herrera. He's going by Odubel Herrera, Jackie Bradley, Evan Gaddis, Stephen Piscotty. So, you know, maybe he is going a little bit high when I look at some of those guys.
Yeah, I just think that given the guys that are around him, I'm not too likely to draft Turner this year.
Yeah, well, and like I said, there's certain third basemen that I'm going to have as pretty big targets.
All right. How about my boy Jose Ramirez? Woo!
Yeah, if you know, this is one of those ones where if you dig a little bit deeper into the ADP, you know, he's going, they got him 126 as the aggregate, but he's going 166 in Yahoo, and he was going 9 in FBC. So the NFBC guys see the value if you guys don't.
Indeed. And that is their fault. If you can't find the value in Jose Ramirez, then you're a terrible person.
Sure. I mean, he's not going to be a huge asset in any particular category, but he'll hit you double-digit homers, at least hopefully. Steal 20-ish bases, and he's really good batting average player. And he should hit near the top. I think he actually hit kind of further down in the lineup last year. Like,
he did.
Hit fifth a lot.
I think he might even hit sixth this year if Michael Brantley's back.
Yeah, it's a bit odd. He seems like such a prototypical top-of-the-order guy.
Well, he is, but like unless you get a... you know, an injury to Lindor or to Jason Kipnis.
Yeah.
There's just no room for it. They all have those sort of leadoff-ish types of guys, and there's just no room for them there. Like, so many other teams in baseball, he'd be the leadoff for second, you know, or the two-hitter, and that's kind of why
I think he'd be a good number two-hitter on a lot of teams. But
yeah, he's a perfect number two-hitter. But that's why I have him ranked at 17, is just because I feel like his upside is sort of capped. Like, you're not looking at a ton of power, you know, if he hits 10 home runs again next year. I think you'll be happy.
Yeah.
You know, the 20 steals, I think, are pretty much a lock. The great batting average and on base is a lock. But he's going to be down in the order, like I said, unless there's an injury to somebody else on that team. And I just think that you're not looking at a ton of runs in RBI then when you're hitting six every day.
Sure. Yeah, that's the problem. You'd want him to be an asset somewhere. And it could be runs scored, but he's not in the right spot for that. And like I said, so if I'm playing a Yahoo League, he's going to be a value because 166 is late. But if you're playing in like an NFBC league, then I think that's overdrafting him.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
because in NFBC he's going ahead of Longoria, he's going significantly ahead of Turner, he's going ahead of, let's see, yeah, Franco and Sano, and I mean he's going six picks after Rendon in NFBC.
Yeah.
So I mean, there it's, you know, it just depends on where you're playing. If you're talking Yahoo leagues, then I think that ADP to me, 166, he's a pretty good value there. At that point, I'm fine taking a guy that's just solid across the board.
Yeah, not a huge asset, but all across the board contributor, like you said. And there is another guy who's still has yet to come off, who I like a lot better even than Jose Ramirez. We'll get him in a minute, but sort of a wild card. Miguel Sano is the next guy off the board.
Sure. Yeah, like you said, he's a wild card. I mean, I'm going to want to love him this year because I traded for him in our Dynasty League. You know, I'd love to see 40 homers in a 260 average, you know, and I think he's capable of that. But I'm not going to necessarily – I'm definitely not going to overdraft him. If he comes to me, if, you know, at the right spot, I don't have any problem taking him. He'll have third base and outfield, so a little bit of flexibility, which is nice. You can put him in your outfield too. And he actually might rather play him in the outfield, so – you know, I just think you got, if you don't reach for him, I'd be fine with it. But there is still a chance that he, you know, just can't hit for average like he couldn't last year and strikes out too much.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever hit for average, but I do see the power. I mean, it's just such huge raw power that, you know, if
he's only 23. I mean, at some point, I do think the breakout will happen.
Yeah, like we said, you know, I know you weren't part of the other Joe episode, but if you can essentially get him as your corner guy and he's not going to kill, you know, don't put him in a position to kill your team, essentially, then he can be just all upside for you.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. And I mean, I did not listen to that episode. I was not a part of it, and it hasn't been released yet. But, yeah, just don't reach for him and you're fine. Let him come to you and you're good. Don't reach for him, though. Don't make him be where you really need him. You know, don't take him. If you don't reach for him, I think it's okay to draft him. And he's not going super high. He was going way higher last year.
Yeah, so now he is more fairly priced. And Van pointed out on the last episode as well, which, like you said, you haven't heard. But and if you're in an OBP league, huge boost. Like, I would take him way higher in an OBP league because you don't have to worry about that batting average. It's not going to kill you. It's going to be much, much higher than, you know, than a standard batting average league. Last year, 236 batting average, 319 OBP. Like, obviously, it's not a good OBP because the batting average is so low, but at that point, 319 is not killing you, and it's also, no. you also still have that massive upside built in.
And then, yeah, I mean, if you look at 2015, his OBP was 385. So, yeah, he's got that in him, I think. I mean, probably that's going to be one of the better results you could ever expect. But he's a very, very patient hitter. I think if he figures out a few different things, I also think he's going to be streaky. He'll be one of those guys that can hit eight homers in a week and then kind of go cold for a while. But, you know, the power to hit 40 home runs like the Arenados and Bryants have, it's there. It's just, I don't know if it's going to happen this year. And he's still super young, so just be patient. Take him at the appropriate spot, and just, yeah, when it's all upside, you're good.
Absolutely. Draft the upside, you creepy ass canoe.
All right.
And finally, here is the guy I've been alluding to for a while, Michael Franco. At 16, number 140. What do you think of the Franco, Joseph?
Yeah, I did. Let me see here. You had him at number 10, so yeah. The upside is still there from – I think I did. I ranked him exactly at 16, which is where he's going. Yeah. But I could see taking him over Sano. I mean, maybe a little bit more. Last year he was a guy – like I said, he has a chance to be a top 10 third baseman, and he really did. I think he was a dude for me last year, actually. So I was really in it. So maybe that's why I'm kind of tempering my expectations this year, burnt a little bit. But
yeah, and I guess we shouldn't talk about him too much because we did spend a lot of time on Franco on the last episode, but I was higher on him than the other guys that I talked to, and also Nick Duran, when he was on earlier, he didn't like Michael Franco at all.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, because I'm the one that took him in the Dynasty League.
Right, yeah.
And I the worst pick of the draft.
Yeah, I know, yeah. He hated that. But people are really down on Franco this year, and I don't really get it. Like, I know that you're not going to look at a solid batting average, and he pops up a lot, so hopefully he can alleviate that, you know, 17% infield fly ball rate. That is not going to do your batting average any favors at all. And he, you know, he didn't have much of a hard contact rate either at 30%. But, you know, he's 24 and he's in a good hitter's ballpark, and the lineup is going to keep getting better as the prospects continue to graduate to the major league level. So I think that he can do 25-88 again. You know, those are the numbers that he put up last year as far as home runs and RBI, with a batting average at 255, which is pretty much league average at this point. And you're getting that, I think, with very little risk down at pick 140. And he's around other very risky guys like Miguel Sano, who does have upside but is very risky. Javier Baez, we're going to get to, also very risky. Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are not they don't scream draft me. So I think that...
Well, they might if they were in the room with you.
They might
just scream at you to draft them. I don't know how forceful they are.
I think they might. You know, it's like Maurice Jones-Drew would always draft himself number one overall, even when he kind of sucked at the end of his career.
Yeah, they might take themselves. And you should if you're like Matt Bryant in the NFL, you should take yourself number one overall. Have some balls.
Yes. You couldn't have pulled a more random name.
No, probably not. Although he did just kick at least one extra point in the Super Bowl last night. Actually, four, I think. So good for you, Matt Bryant.
If only he had kicked one more
about
of them.
Eight more, yeah. That field goal, we probably shouldn't talk about the Super Bowl. Falcons honestly pissed that Super Bowl away. When Julio made that catch, ridiculous. That's game over. Run it three times and kick a field goal. Game over.
Yeah, and then they pass it. Bunch of morons.
They get sacked and knock themselves out of field goal range. Like, all you had to do, you could have kneeled on it three times and won the game.
Clearly, they did not watch Super Bowl X-Licks, in which the Seattle Seahawks suffered the same fate from not running it.
Yeah, I mean, these teams are giving the Patriots Super Bowls. Anyway, I don't like the Patriots.
Nobody does, Joe, except for Patriots fans. But yeah, I have Franco at 10, so I think he's going to be a nice bargain this year. But we'll move on to Javier Baez, who is going to be multi-position eligible, sort of like Jonathan Villar. So let's just get him out of the way now. What do you think of Javier Baez? A lot of upside.
A lot of upside. I didn't rank him high at all. I got him all the way down at 20. He improved in a lot of ways. Continues to improve from his nightmare 2014, where he struck out like 70% of the time. I mean, he still strikes out a ton, but he hit 273 last year, 14 homers, 12 stolen bases. You know, for the guy that was supposed to be the ultimate upside player, like he could be 30-30 and all this stuff, you know, to come up and play almost a full season in the big leagues and just be the most boring blah player is pretty weird. But he's kind of blah to me, I guess.
Well, if you're actually watching him, he's never blah just because he's so flashy with everything he does. But
I mean, it's just his numbers are not, they don't jump out at all. I mean, he had almost as many strikeouts as hits last year, so there's that. But I mean, he's obviously very talented. He's only 24. He could put it together at any moment. At that price, I guess, you know, maybe I'm in on it. I wish he was going around 200. Then I'd take him in every league. But, you know, I guess you got to pay for the fact that everybody knows he was a huge prospect and all that stuff. I'm not going to draft him at that spot, though.
Where everybody knows you're a huge prospect.
That's a lot like Cheers.
That's how that song goes, I think. Yeah, no, I'm... Where'd you rank him at? 20?
20, yeah.
Yeah, I have him at 23, so I don't like him either. Here's an interesting eye-popping stat. You said nothing in his batted ball profile was too exciting. But his chase rate, Joe, his swings percentage on pitches outside the zone was 42.9%, which was the fifth worst mark in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not the worst, but I guess there's lots of guys that swing at everything.
Yeah, there is, but he is definitely one of them. Horrendous walk to strikeout rate, so I think he's got a long way to go to put it together. You got to get on base a little bit more. put yourself in position to utilize that speed and get more stolen bases. So, I mean, he is definitely, he's got some good upside, but honestly, I think that Baez is probably just best left, in my opinion, this year as a DFS play.
Yeah, the only thing that is really in his favor is he's eligible all over the infield, so that's nice.
That it is, but
some flexibility. But yeah, if he was going around pick 200, I'd be totally fine with that, and I'd be interested in him. But I don't think there's a whole lot of upside at that point where he's going.
No. What about Eduardo Nunez? Any more upside with him? Number 18.
Well, I mean, he's just not going to do what he did last year. But I guess in this day and age of desperate need for stolen bases, it's nice. He should steal, let's say, 25 at least, and I'm regressing that. I don't know that I don't really trust this 40 steal stuff.
Well, it's hard to do, you know, when you're 29 years old and you practically double your career high.
Well, he never really played. I mean, yeah, he was never really a full-time player, I guess, so you could give him that. But when you don't become a full-time player until you're 29, and your team before that was the Twins, who were terrible, and were always looking for a shortstop, and he cobbed.
Yeah, not too promising.
I mean, it's hard for me to trust him. I mean, I watched him play so much for so long, and he was never good.
Yeah, it's just purely a speed play, which at this point, I don't necessarily know if he's going to kill you. 16 home runs last year. Gosh. 27 below average hard contact rate at 28%. 33% fly balls. I mean, at AT&T, that's a lot of outs right there. So, I don't know. I can't buy into it, man. Like
the only thing I buy into is 25 to 30 steals, not 40 again. You know, I mean, maybe he'll steal 40 again. It's possible, but I don't buy into the power even a little bit. I think he's like a 10 homer guy at the most. I don't think he has much power, and especially out there, you know, playing in San Francisco, not a place to hit homers at all. So I think the power is going to come down a lot. And so you're hoping for batting average and stolen bases. And I don't necessarily, you know, I could see him hitting 285 again. That's not a problem for him. But even still, like, he's just a steals guy. So if you need a steals guy, go right ahead.
Yeah, he's going to be a filthy steal if he does the same thing that he did last year.
Well, true. You know, I just don't see it.
But, I mean, tell me if I'm irrational here, but, like, the Giants that's what they do is they churn out middle infielders that have made-up names, and all of a sudden they're, like, top 12 fantasy second baseman and shortstops. That's what they do.
Yeah,
I just feel like he's going to get Wally Pipped at some point in the middle of the season.
I guess I wouldn't be surprised. He was always just a utility guy for the terrible Twins, so, yeah. I know for a fact that I'm like underrating him and irrational about it, because I just watched him be a guy that couldn't even play over Eduardo Nunez. Eduardo
Escobar.
The other one, Eduardo Escobar. Yeah.
Yeah, there's too many Eduardos. Thank God the Twins got rid of one of them.
Oh, yeah, we had those two Eduardos playing at short, and like they would each kind of just basically play until they sucked, and then they're like, all right, Eduardo number two, you take a shot at it.
Very confusing. Yeah. That's what they called him too. It was pretty demeaning. Eduardo number one and Eduardo number two.
Yeah. And Nunez, I think, was Eduardo number two because he usually played less, but
yeah. Well, and then the Giants did sign Jaehyun Hwang.
We talked about that.
Yeah. To sort of roam around the infield at a moment's notice. So if he, you know, I mean, obviously the track record is pretty spotty for these guys coming over and, you know, being fantasy relevant. But at the very least, I think that we're looking at him taking away some at-bats from Nunez.
Yeah, I'm not going to draft him, I guess. But
I'm not either. Statistically, there's not a huge... Yeah, I know. Maybe we're just both biased as Twins fans. Statistically, there's not a lot to point to for regression. I just don't think the playing time is going to be there. Be it irrational or not, that's where I'm sitting. But the next guy, and maybe this is a reason to not draft him, because I would much rather have Jake Lamb, who's going off the board four picks later than Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah, and the Jake Lamb thing, that was one of the most surprising things to me when I started looking at this ADP, is that he's the 19th third baseman. It's like, when did that happen? He was a top 12 guy last year, wasn't he?
He was really good.
His batting average was bad, you know. I mean, there's some stuff to worry about with him, like strikes out a lot. I mean, but everybody strikes out a lot. So, he, you know, 249 and 29 home runs last year. I pretty much trust him to do something similar to that. And that's what the guys we talked about, like Seager and, you know, Beltre and those guys do. So I don't trust. I don't think his batting average will be as high. So I understand him being lower than all those guys. But like, why would you take? Why would you not take Jake Lamb over Javi Baez, who isn't even guaranteed full time playing time? Like, I don't understand that one.
I do not know. I'm right there with you. And
Jose Ramirez, as much as we love him, and that was your like one of your great calls you could ever possibly make. But like, to me, Jake Lamb is way better than Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, especially what you're typically looking for from a third baseman, that power and RBI. And
I guess if you look at Yahoo, which is the biggest fantasy site you're going to play on, or Yahoo or ESPN, Lamb goes ahead of Ramirez on Yahoo. So that Ramirez was really, really up there as far as the NFBC players go.
Hmm. Interesting. Wonder why that is. Anyway, yeah, who are we talking about? Jake Lamb. I have a 12. I think I am going to lower him a little bit, mostly because I'm going to put Rendon in front of him. You know, Lamb, huge first half. For my key stat that I put on my rankings, I put the number 320, which is the difference between his first half OPS of 983 and his second half OPS of 663. He just really tanked it in the second half. Pitchers adjusted to him. They started pitching him on the outside of the plate, and he just couldn't get to it. And they really exploited him that way. His batting average just took a tumble as a result. And also against left-handed pitching, he was awful.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't surprise me that much. I'm sure he's going to be – he's probably going to have some platoon splits there, but I think he's their guy. I think he's going to play every day even.
Well, that's the plan for now. They say they're going to continue to not platoon him despite his .276 weighted on base against lefties last year with a 28% strikeout rate. But so we'll see how long that experiment goes. Like, I think that he can't – you know, we saw him make adjustments in – really improve and break out last year. So I'm not necessarily ruling out that he can make adjustments against lefties and be at least marginal against them. So, you know, good enough where they're not going to sit him against lefties, but I'm not going to draft him with the expectation that that's what's going to happen. So, but I think down where he's going, like, I'm perfectly fine getting him as a corner infielder. Corner infielder.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that.
Or if you just wait on the position, you can wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and take Ryan. I wouldn't have any problem taking him as my starting third baseman either. But
yeah,
I would much rather take him. Have already taken a guy.
Yeah, you know, just because of that batting average, I would rather have him where he's not going to kill me as a corner infielder than my starting third baseman.
Sure.
Ryan Healy, a guy who came out of nowhere last year for Oakland, he's the next guy off the board at 20.
Yeah, he's not going high or anything, but he's a pretty buzzy player at this point, I would say. Like, if you listen to Fangraphs, guys are all aboard the Healy train. I think he's a good player. You know, I don't know that, like, he hit 305 last year. I'm not sure that, like, that's repeatable, but yeah. He's a guy that could hit 20, 25 homers. He had 13 in 72 games last year. I think he's good, but I don't really have anything bad to say about him. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't expect a 300 hitter, like you said. You know, still a decent contact rate, 79% contact rate. He doesn't whiff a ton or anything. Doesn't walk either. But yeah, 352 batting average on balls in play. Doesn't necessarily crush the ball. Pretty average hard contact rate. So, especially half your games in Oakland, a lot of foul territory there. So those are some outs there that aren't in a lot of other ballparks, so that does hurt him. So, you know, probably more like a 270, 280 hitter. But, you know, combine that with the potential for 25 home runs, love it. I mean, at this point,
sure.
Granted, the lineup isn't great, so you can't necessarily expect 90 RBI. Maybe it's more like 80 RBI. But still, I'm totally good with him as a corner infield option down here.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm not against him. There's two guys later on that I would take over him, but yeah, I'm not against him. I don't know that I will draft him anywhere, because I feel like there'll be somebody like you that's a big Ryan Healy fan, but...
Yeah, it's like these guys, Lamb and Healy down here at 19 and 20, his position is just so deep.
Yeah, well, there's guys coming up that I think are still worthy to be starting on even mixed league teams.
Yeah, and this is, you're talking about buzzy names with Ryan Healy. This is the buzziest of names, Yoan Moncada.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about him anymore. We've talked about him on the show. I mean, when he comes up, he could be an all-star, but yeah, you just don't know when that'll be yet. If you're taking him in the close to the last round of your league, I'm fine with that and stashing him, but like I wouldn't want to reach for him. I would almost guarantee he starts the year in the minors.
I would as well. So that's going to be my question for you. When do you think we see him?
Well, I mean, June, July. I don't know. I mean, like you said, you thought maybe they'd give him the Chris Bryant Super 2 treatment. Maybe it's that, but I don't know what that date is because it's this nebulous date that changes.
Well, yeah, but if it's that one, it's only 2 weeks into the season approximately.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think it'll be that soon. I think it'll be later on, like June, but I don't know. I really have no reason that I think that.
I think it totally depends on how he does, because I agree with you that I think he's going to start the season in AAA, but I think when he comes up also depends on how he's doing, because he needs to get those strikeouts in check. His strikeout rate has been pretty bad. You know, we saw it in his worthless.
Yeah, he's not necessarily a finished product that's just ready to be called up. So, right. Like Chris Bryant was.
He was, yeah. And Moncada still does have some work to do. But if you're looking at something to dream on, 16 home runs and 46 steals across three levels, that was his total from 2016. So you're mostly getting him for the speed, but he does have some pop too. We don't even know. There's talk of him moving to center field now. So we don't even know. He could come up as a second baseman, a third baseman, and a center fielder. They don't even know where they're going to play him yet.
Yeah, I mean, and it might depend on what deals they make. I think right now their center fielder in Chicago is penciled in as Charlie Tilson.
Yes. So if he starts hitting 230, you know, a couple of weeks, a month, month and a half into the season, I think it's a lot more likely that Moncada comes up and plays center.
Yeah, although I do own Charlie Tilson in our Dynasty League, and I'm kind of hoping he is the starting outfielder, but yeah. Can't say I have a ton of faith in him to be a fantasy asset or even a real life asset. So yeah, that could be a place for him to play. There's options, like you said, second, third, center, and the White Sox are trying to rebuild, so they could deal even more guys like Todd Frazier at some point. So he'll come up at some point and be a starter for the rest of the season. I mean, if you're in a 15-team league, you're going to have to draft him. You won't be able to get him off the wire, but I wouldn't reach for him. Like, if he's going at 222 is pretty late, so I don't necessarily have a problem with stashing him, but I don't know. I don't have the confidence that he's going to come up after 2 weeks like a Bryant did.
Nor do I, Joe, nor do I. Let's see. Somebody whose value is not going to come up is Hernan Perez.
Oh, I don't know, Hernan. This is the probably Yancey Eaton's greatest moment in fantasy. Brought up Hernan Perez on Dear Mr. Fantasy, and they just laughed him out of the building. And now he's a sudden. Now he's going. He was 163 NFBC ADP. That's kind of crazy. He's eligible everywhere. He could steal some bases. He's a solid player. I'm probably not taking him.
No, he's a utility player at this point. He doesn't even have a home. He doesn't have a starting job.
Yeah, they got the guy from Brian Shaw to be the. Travis Shaw,
there you go.
To be their third baseman.
Who's Brian Shaw?
He used to play point guard for the Lakers.
Okay. Boy, he'd be a terrible option at third base for the Brewers.
Yeah, that is who Brian Shaw was, though. But anyway.
Yeah, don't draft Hernan Perez. Let's move on
Or Brian Shaw.
No, don't draft him either. He's a long shot to make the roster. We'll see.
We'll see. He could throw a lot. He used to throw alley-oops to Shaq all the time. Played with Shaq on the Lakers and the Magic. Brian Shaw, good player. 6'6", point guard.
Oh, interesting. Well, maybe he could be an outfielder then, lobbing balls in the infield.
Could be. I mean, if you want to, like, I don't know that much about baseball. NBA player heights, though? Oh, yeah. I know how tall every NBA player is.
Tony Kukoc, Joe.
Oh, Kukoc was tall. He was 6'11".
Oh, my God. That's surprising.
Hard to believe it out of a small forward, but yeah.
Jesus. Yep. I want to continue to test you because it's really fun, but we've done that before, and we still have a lot of guys to get to.
Have we done that on the podcast?
Well, no, not on the podcast, but in person, okay. We've done that. Yeah. It's really hysterical for some reason. But anyway, the less hysterical Mike Moustakas. Do you like him?
Mike Moustakas is my target supreme.
Oh, target supreme!
Yeah, I know. You ranked him 24th. I put him at 18th. I mean, and my thought process with it is, I mean, if you look at what he did, well, you know, he didn't play, what, the last 2 years? I'd have to pull him up again. But just looking at his numbers and kind of what, like, I guess it depends on health. Like, I don't know. Is he going to be okay, everything just back to 100% off his injury? I hope so. If he is close to 100% based on what he did back in 2015, I think it's possible that he could be a 270 hitter, 25 to 30 homers, 75 runs and RBIs, somewhere in that 80 range. And then how much different is he than, you know, Seager and Longoria and all those guys that go that in that spot?
Yeah,
just depends on his health, I guess.
It is, yeah. He's getting tremendously dinged because of the largely missed season last year.
So in 2015, 147 games, hit 22 homers and hit .284 with a really good OBP, about .350. You know, that wasn't even a full season, only 550 at bat. So 70 runs, 80 RBIs. You know, if he plays the full season, like he was even hitting for more power in his 2016 before he got hurt. You know, he had 7 homers and only 100 at bats, which is a pretty good pace. So I think he could potentially hit 30 homers with a decent average and be just like, at some point on the podcast, we could be saying, like, is Mike Moustakas a top 10 third baseman? And you can get him right now as what, the 23rd off the board? I mean, I could be totally wrong and he could be still hurt, but I think if he's healthy, he's in the 10 to 15 range of the position and you're getting a really big discount.
Yeah, that is the only thing is health. If he is healthy going into the season, I completely agree with you. John, his latest RotoWire news page says that on the 27th of January, an update was that his knee is, quote, almost 100%. So the fact that it's still not 100% is a little disconcerting, but he's still got a couple months before the season starts to get right. But he had increased, well, he had got a lot better against lefties the last couple of years. He used to be just terrible against lefties. .354 and .356 were his last 2 years weighted on base. So I don't think he's a platoon bat anymore. He stopped pulling the ball every single time that he made contact with it and started spraying the ball across all fields, and that helped his BABIP. So, yeah, if he's healthy, man, I'm with you. I think it's good.
All right. Oh, good. It's always nice to get your sleepers in there and not have people laugh at you. So,
no, it actually makes me angry that I can't laugh at you and call you a moron. We got to get some bets going on here. We haven't.
Well, yeah, that's true, but I don't know that you've said anything that I really found to be too ridiculous yet. I'll take Mike Moustakas over Ryan Healy. You might have ranked it that way. I don't know if you did.
Let's consult the Book of Armaments.
Oh, yeah, you got you got Healy 5 spots ahead.
All right, I'll take Ryan Healy.
I'll take Mike Moustakas.
Line it up.
Oh, boy, I feel good about that one.
Loud noises!
I don't necessarily feel great about that one. Now I'm hoping that Mike Moustakas is injured coming into the year. Oh, Lordy. Hold on, I got to write down. Go up, move on. I got to write down the times for editing.
Oh, sure. So, yeah. So, I don't know. To me, the next guy off the board is my last year guy, my last year sleeper, which is Castellanos. And I don't have any problem with calling him a sleeper again this year. I like Moustakas a little bit better. I think he's got more power. But like Yahoo ADP, Nick Castellanos, .362. And Moustakas is .304 in Yahoo. Both those guys you can get in the last round of a 12-team league. Like, that's why third base is so deep in my book. Like, you know, both those guys should be 20 homer third basemen that don't kill you in batting average. And it's like, yeah, this position is crazy deep. So, I mean, those are two guys that I think are super relevant at the position, I guess. But
yeah, Castellanos, yeah, another guy who had an injury short in 2016. Really coming into the power.
But he was having a breakout season.
He was. A lot of it was BABIP fuel, though. He had a huge BABIP to start off the year. It's just ridiculous. It still finished at .345. It would have continued to go down, I think, if he had, you know, played more into the season. And I think the numbers would have looked a little bit more mediocre. But he did post the highest hard contact rate of his career at 35.7%. Led to, of course, the highest home run per fly ball of the year of his career at 13.7%. And, you know, a lot of fly balls. So, again, not going to help your BABIP, but when you're smoking the ball so hard, that it sort of evens out a little bit. So,
well, and I guess for me, he's free. Like in a Yahoo league,
that's the thing. Yeah, So he, you know, Joe pointed out against lefties, he was absolutely atrocious still last year. So we shall see if they continue to deploy him against lefties.
It's kind of odd because he's a right-handed hitter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, reverse platoony. But so anyway, let's see. Where are we at here?
Yeah, we're getting down to the dregs. I mean, I don't know if we need to go into any. Like, I'd say at this point we could maybe talk about if you want to throw in any of these guys. There's one more guy I want to talk about.
Okay.
For sure. Actually, two more guys I'd probably want to talk about for sure, and then we could do the sleeper or our number one targets and busts or whatever.
Okay. Yeah, Jung Ho Kang. You know, if you have a deep bench, I would draft him and then stash him because he can be had for nothing at this point. But, you know, again, he might be suspended half the season. We just don't know it yet. So, but Jed Jerko, did you want to touch on him?
Well, I like him a lot, but you're going to play him at short or second.
True. Okay.
So we can talk about him then.
Yeah. Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah, he's third base only, so he's kind of like, should somebody. I mean, he's not that much different than Castellanos, I wouldn't think. He's even cheaper.
He is even cheaper.
Actually, in Yahoo, they're going back-to-back, 362, 363. Similar players. I mean, Suarez, power guy. You know, he's not going to steal, but, you know, maybe 20 homers. I guess he did steal some bases last year, too. So, yeah, Suarez is like, that's just like what I'm saying, third base. Like, you can get Eugenio Suarez last round, and he's not going to kill you.
Yeah, that's, you know, in the last episode, Pizapia brought him up because he can't hit righties, so he was kind of a bust for him. But at this ADP, it's hard to be a bust. He was actually my key stat on him. He was one of only three third basemen that had more than 20 home runs and 10 steals last year. So he does suck against righties, so that will, you know, depress his batting average indefinitely. And I think that it is only also a matter of time before he is supplanted by Nick Senzel, who they, you know, draft pick or whatever. So who knows how long? I would say that Senzel probably isn't coming up until the end of the season, though.
So, well, and then at that point, like, I don't know if he can play second, but Brandon Phillips should be dead any day now.
Yeah.
So they can move short.
Well, but, yeah, then they're going to bring up Peraza, I would say.
Well, Peraza, I thought, was going to play already.
Oh, like in the outfield?
Well, somewhere. I don't think he's going to start the year in the minors.
Interesting. Yeah, he barely made the end of my list just because I don't know about the playing time for him. We'll see as spring training comes along.
Peraza?
Yeah, Jose Peraza.
He's on the third base list at all?
Well, no, he's a second baseman, but you're talking about Brandon Phillips, so.
Oh, yeah, Brandon Phillips, yeah.
Yeah, for replacing him. But I don't know. Phillips doesn't want to go anywhere, apparently.
Well, whatever. Who cares? We should probably. I only got about 10 more minutes before you here, so we probably should.
Yeah, we're reaching the bottom here. I was sort of inclined to be interested on Jose Reyes until I realized that he doesn't really have anywhere to play until David Wright gets hurt.
That shouldn't take long.
It shouldn't take long, but for starters, he's not going to have a job.
Yeah, he could be waiver what pickup in a shallow league for sure. If he's going to get some playing time, he'll have value. He'll steal bases. You know, I mean, I don't think he's not what he used to be, but he's still a lot better than Sean Rodriguez, let's say, or some of these other guys. If he was playing, he's probably better than, you know, even the Matt Duffy or some of these other guys that go around there. But the one guy that I did want to mention was Yuli Gurriel, because he's going 321 like overall and 366 in Yahoo, so he's totally free. Like, of all the, you know, there's like Marcus Castellanos and then Gurriel. Like, Gurriel, I'd be worried about taking him to really be anything other than a bench guy because I don't know how much he's going to play. But I think if somebody gets hurt out there in Houston, he could play. He's probably going to play first base or DH and not every day at this point, but I don't think he could possibly be as bad as he was last year. So I'm kind of in on him to have a bounce back.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a deep league guy for sure. His upside is limited, but yeah, I agree that he can't possibly be as bad as he was last year.
I don't know. I mean, like, the upside would be limited just because you'd be worried about that he's not going to get to play enough. But if something happens, like Carlos Beltran's on that team, so he, you know, he can get hurt pretty darn easily. And I think all it takes is one injury, or else he comes out of the gates smoking hot, which is possible. Like, I'm just interested to see what he does this year. He's going to be a player that I keep my eye on.
Yeah, he is. They're a loaded lineup, so he is going to have to hit to, you know, continue to get playing time.
Yeah, he's risky for sure, but I mean, he's going down you know, I mean, he's basically undrafted. So
people have forgot about A.J. Reed. I think if he starts really tearing shit up down in AAA, that we could see him back up too.
Oh, they got there's just a ton of options in Houston. So
yeah, perhaps it's a platoon, but
he needs to hit to stay in the lineup. So
okay, so let's go over, Joe, who, after going through all these guys, is your biggest target?
No, it's Moustakas. I mean, I think that he's going 23rd, third baseman. I think he could be top 10. He was getting to the point 2 years ago where we were talking about him as that, and now he's forgotten about. So, I mean, I understand why we're forgetting about it. You miss a whole season, people forget about you. But, yeah, the discount for Moustakas, I think, is huge. So, I think next year he easily is back up as a top 15 third baseman. That's where he's drafted. So you're getting this huge discount this year. So take advantage of that. That's my number one sleeper. The other guy is Longoria. I mean, those would be my two targets. Longoria, I think, is closer to a top 5 than a top 10. He's going as number 12. So I think he could be a top 6 or 7 third baseman, and he's going 12th overall. So those are the two guys that I'm going to target.
Yeah, I'm with you on Longoria. Michael Franco, obviously, at this point, is, I'm just, for some reason, the high guy on him this year. I don't necessarily see him really exploding and hitting 40 home runs or anything like that this year, but for where he's going, I think it's a nice discount on what he will return you. So, guy that you're avoiding, then?
Well, that's probably not quite as easy. I didn't, just because I haven't actually picked that yet. I mean, I might even say Jose Ramirez. I mean, not that I...
How dare you, Joe?
I don't have any problem with
him. I thought we were friends.
Well, and I get that. The problem is, too, like I said, he's going pretty decently priced in Yahoo, but it's like 94 when you look at that NFBC, and that drives it up. But there's so many, like, I'd take Franco over him. You know, I think he's like, even though I didn't like Javi Baez, I think Javi Baez is way more upside than Ramirez. Ramirez, you kind of know what you're getting out of him. So I think he's like a deep league utility kind of guy. It's nice position eligibility, but I don't think he should be drafted as the 14th third baseman off the board.
You smelly rinktum knob.
Yeah. Rectum knob.
Where did rinktum come from? Good Lord. Anyway, first of all, I am very offended by that. But second of all, I think Javier Baez is just going to have to be my avoid this year. I just don't see him making the necessary plate discipline adjustments to tap into his power and speed potential as much as he should. You know, and he could, obviously with Joe Maddon, I think he's going to platoon a lot, sort of move all over the place. So, you know, if he doesn't hit, he couldn't play. He might not play that much. So you can see a void for me.
Right, fair enough.
Anything else before we get the hay out of here?
Yeah, I was trying to think if maybe there was one more bet we could make, but I don't know. I think we're probably pretty good. Like I said, I'm high on Longoria. Like, I think Longoria could be better than Seager, but it's like, yeah, they're pretty close to me. So, I mean, we could do that bet, but I don't really know if I feel strongly enough about it. One bet per show is probably good enough. Like the other guy, like I was big on Jake Lamb. You like him too. You know, like I said, Moustakas was my big guy. But, you know, you were high on Longoria as well. So we didn't have a lot of – like,
well, you
catcher,
just – okay, listen. Like, you just turned Jose Ramirez into
okay,
a bust.
Okay, yeah, you can do a Jose Ramirez bet if you want.
Well, I don't have your rankings, Joe, so pick somebody.
Who did I rank ahead of him? Let me see. Well, like Justin Turner. That's going to be Sophie's choice for you.
I have Justin Turner ahead of Jose Ramirez.
Yeah. It's not going that way in the drafts, though. Or wait, yeah, it is. But not by much. By like 4 picks. Oh, geez.
Jose Ramirez versus Nick Castellanos.
Well, that's crazy. He goes a million picks later.
But he's your guy from last year.
Yeah, from last year. I mean, I'll take Moustakas over him, too, if you want to make two Moustakas bets.
Okay, you're putting a lot on Moustakas.
Well, I can think. I said he's my number one target, so.
And these are OBP for the new listeners out there. All our bets are OBP.
Sure. Moose is a good OBP guy.
Yeah, you know who's better OBP is Jose freaking Ramirez.
We shall see.
Sexy time. Give me, how do we start this? I'll take Jose Ramirez.
I'll take the Moose again.
Line it up.
Line it up.
Loud noises!
Very good. Okay. That is all for this week, then. I feel accomplished now that we got that second bit in. So, Next episode, like I said, it's going to be shortstops with Nando DeFino. So look for that within the next coming days. And until next time, may the fantasy gods...